Hello, everyone. Hope you had a great weekend. Tonight we will be discussing the Inner Planes in a Law of One. But first, I'm going to do a brief introduction. I'm Trish. I have been studying the Law of One since around 2017. I'm a tarot reader and a psychic medium. I had a near-death experience in 2021 that further intensified all those experiences. I'm a seeker, just like everyone else, and I do this as a way of offering my own current understanding. I feel like it's important to note that this does still come through my own distortions, so please take what resonates and leave the rest. The site I'm going to be working off of tonight is lawofone.info, and you can see that at the top of the screen here. Lawofone.info. And they offer the full channeling sessions in order. This was done in the early 1980s through Carlo Ruckert as the channel, Jim McCarty as the scribe, and Don Elkins did the questioning. So the Law of One, in my opinion, was brought through as a way of assisting mankind to further seek the truths of creation and also help us in finding those truths within ourselves. So, like I said, tonight we're going to be talking about the inner planes, which honestly I found to be nothing more than another term that they used for time space, which I've already done an episode on time space, which was the previous one to this. So if you have not watched that one yet, please watch it. But tonight we're going to be talking about it through using their term of it, deemed the inner planes, which they do say at some point that that term was probably a way of making it easier for humans to understand what it is they were trying to convey. So let's go ahead and get started on session 7.9. And this is talking about the Council of Saturn, which I think I did bring that up. No, that's okay. It's a hierarchy basically in our solar system, and there is, a hierarchy of governance and the way that creation is brought down. So let's go into Don's question. Who are the members of this council and how do they function? So Ra answers, the members of the council are representatives from the Confederation, and this is the Confederation of Planets. They speak about who offer their assistance to any planets making a so-called call unto for help or assistance from the Creator. And from those whose vibratory levels of your inner planes, bearing responsibility for your third density. Third density being the density that we are currently in. The names are not important because there are no names. Your mind-body-spirit complexes request names, and so in many cases, the vibratory sound complexes, which is a fancy name for names, are not, which are constant with the vibratory distortions of each entity are used. However, the name concept is not part of the council. If names are requested, we will attempt them. However, not all have chosen names. And I will explain that a little bit. Because I'm thinking that, once we evolve to a certain point where we have telepathy or we can recognize each other by energy, so on and so forth, why do we need names? We could just contact each other directly. In number, the council that sits in constant session through varying it in its members by means of balancing, which takes place, what you call irregularly is nine. That is session council. To back up this council, there are 24 entities which offer their services as requested. These entities faithfully watch and have been called the guardians. The council operates by means of what you call telepathic contact with the oneness or unity of the nine. The distortions blending harmoniously so that the law of one prevails with ease. When a need for thought is present, the council retains the distortion complex of this need, balancing it as described, and then recommends what it considers as appropriate action. This includes one, the duty of admitting social memory complexes to the Confederation. So social memory complex is basically, I would consider, a collective, a planetary collective, a single planetary collective to the Confederation. Two, offering aid to those who are unsure how to aid the social memory complex, requesting aid in a way consonant with both the call, the law, and the number of those calling. That is to say, sometimes the resistance of the call. Three, internal questions in the council are determined. So these are the prominent duties of the council. They are, and if in any doubt, able to contact the 24, who then offer consensus slash judgment slash thinking to the council. The council then may reconsider any question. Okay, so there's a lot of balancing going on, I feel, with this council, but the point being is that they are, Ross says that they do reside in the inner plane. So again, another word for time space, which is very much a part of our reality as what we consider reality already. So, and there is some hard subjects in here, which, I debated on to go into it or not, but I feel like we do need to, as far as some of the negative aspects of things. It's important for us to know how things are working in both light and dark. So this kind of jumps forward to session 12, question 14. And Don asked, what would be the origin of what we call black magic? And Ra answers, this is correct in one sense, incorrect. Oh, I'm sorry, would this be an origin of what we call black magic? Which, if we go into the question a little bit, see if we can't go back. Okay, don't think it explains it too much anymore, but I think the answer is more important. Ra answer is this is correct in one sense, incorrect in another. The Orion group, which is a negative aspect of things, has aided the so-called negatively oriented among your mind, body, spirit complexes. And this word here is a fancy word for a person or an individual. The same entities would be concerning themselves with service to self. In any case, and there are many upon your so-called inner planes, which are negatively oriented and thus available as inner teachers or guides and so-called possessors of certain souls who seek the distortion of service to self. So, but it's important to say that it works both ways, and they do get into that as well. But it's interesting to me how they mention this, and this is definitely something that I wanted to get in at some point tonight, was that they say, again, this works both ways, positive and negative, and thus available as inner teachers or guides, inner teachers or guides, as in within us. That's my point. It's all within us. So let's go on to the next. This is 14.3, the Urantia book, which I haven't read. Who gave that? Which I haven't read either, but I did want to bring it up to you. And this is just Amazon. You can purchase this off of Amazon. They do say it was given to by a series of discarnate entities of your own earth planes, the so-called inner planes. This material was not passed by the council, but it was given by discarnate entities in the inner planes, aka time space. Someone was able to bring that through. It's a very interesting book if you read the description of it. revealing the mysteries of God, the universe, world history, Jesus, and ourselves. So again, I wanted to bring that up if anybody was wondering what that was or if they were interested in reading it. Okay, super interesting to me. This is session 16.48. That was a big session, but they asked, Don asked, who creates the silver flecks? Are they real? And I believe he was asking about silver flecks that they see on people's faces. Yes. The question before was, can you tell me of the silver flecks that we have found sometimes on our faces or elsewhere? And Ra answers, these of which you speak are a materialization of a subjectively oriented signpost indicating to one mind-body-spirit complex and no other a meaning of a subjective nature. So this is where he asks, well, who creates them? Are they real? And Ra answers, picture, if you will, the increasing potential for a learned teaching. At some point, a sign will be given to indicate the appropriateness or importance of that learned teaching. The entity itself, in cooperation with the inner planes, inner guides, teachers, creates whatever signpost is most understandable or noticeable to it. So it's a signpost. In times that I've seen this, I just assume, and maybe I'm wrong, but it is a direct previous thought of or an understanding of a moment where you understand something and it clicks. So it's like that clicking. So the inner self perhaps creates that signpost for you to see outwardly, or think you're seeing it outwardly to let you know that yes, you've understood that. And learn teaching, learn slash teaching, the way they explain it, and they do this with a couple words like patience slash, impatience, and that it's a way of balancing. So because when we're learning, we're also teaching, and when we're teaching, we're also learning. There are several times where I'm here teaching or doing something else teaching, and then I realized I think I was teaching myself in that moment too. So this is the best way that they can explain it, and it's genius, really, because that's absolutely the truth. Okay. But again, the important point is that this is done with cooperation for the inner planes, as in within us, aka time space. So I think that this term that they use, inner planes, it is more easy, it's easier for us to understand, possibly by the way that we're all brought up. We're all brought up differently. But I feel like with me, it just clicked a little bit easier rather than calling it time space. Just as soon as I was able to kind of understand time space a little bit better, then that popped up and just kind of opened up a new avenue of understanding with it. So, okay. So let's move on though. I think I brought this one up somewhere else too. This was interesting, and I don't know. I do kind of want to read the whole thing, so bear with me on this. But I think, given the times that we're in, we should probably go through this. Okay, so the question, this is session 17.1. Don says, I wish to say it again. We consider it a great honor and a privilege. And I would like to reiterate that my questions may sometimes be a little off because I keep going on something that I had already started. Yes, he has three questions just now in meditation that he said before the session. First, he wanted to verify that we are now in fourth density. Will the effects of fourth density increase in the next 30 years? Will we see more changes in our environment and effect upon our environment? And maybe, yeah, they do explain it. Okay. I was going to give it away. Ra says the fourth density is a vibrational spectrum. Your time-space continuum has spiraled your planetary sphere and what we would call galaxy, what you call a star or solar system, into this vibration, the fourth density. This will cause the planetary sphere itself to electromagnetically realign itself and its vortexes of reception of the in-streaming of cosmic forces expressing themselves as a vibrational webs, so that the Earth will thus be fourth density magnetized, as you call it. And I think we're seeing evidence of that currently. And this was, I think they gave an approximate date, but and I do feel like there was changes made around, earlier in the last decade. However, they explain it greatly. Just because we're in that energy does not mean that we have balanced ourselves into that energy. It's much like going up a grade. You were just in junior high and now you're in high school. Well, it takes you a little bit to kind of adjust to being in that high school setting and what you need to be doing, and also fitting yourself into that type of situation and environment. So, we are very much needing to catch up, as well as the Earth is. This is going to occur with some inconvenience, as we have said before, due to the energies of the thought forms of your peoples, which disturb the orderly constructs of energy patterns within your Earth spirals of energy, which increases entropy and unusable heat. This will cause your planetary sphere to have some ruptures in its outer garment while making itself appropriately magnetized for fourth density. This is a planetary judgment. And I do believe they're talking about Earth crustal movement, which is not unusual for the planet. However, I, in my own opinion, I feel like it's going to be more noticeable. But this is just a normal a way of realigning itself. You will find a sharp increase in the number of people, as you call mind-body-spirit complexes, whose vibrational potentials include the potential for fourth vibrational distortions. Thus, there will seem to be a new breed. These are those incarnating for fourth density work. There will also be a sharp increase in the short run of negatively oriented or polarized mind-body-spirit complexes and social complexes due to the polarizing conditions and the sharp delineation between fourth density characteristics and third density self-service orientation. So delineation is like a outline, or a line drawn between two states. So there's going to be a very sharp border made between those who we would consider those might having the characteristics of fourth density, and then those still trying to or refusing to do the work, I would call it. But how in this in words of Ra, third density self-service orientation, we're going to notice who is who a little bit more. So, at one point in time, I think it was very hard to see who was who. And we're still going through that, and we're most certainly not finished with that yet. Those who remain in fourth density upon this plane will be of the so-called positive orientation. Many will come from elsewhere, for it would appear that with all of the best efforts of the Confederation, which include those from your people's inner planes, inner civilizations, and those from other dimensions, the harvest will still be much less than that which this planetary sphere is capable of comfortably supporting in service. And this is not the first time they've said that. They say this a couple of times, I believe, throughout the Law of One, that it's going to be a small harvest. And I think some of the mission for some of us is to try to increase that harvest as much as we can. But in the long run, at the end of the day, it's up to each person individually to do the inner work. And that is the most important thing that we can all do. at this time, and I know things are getting intense out there, and it will over the next several months, several years probably. However, let go of the distractions and understand the focus should be on the inner work and working together as well. You'll find, though, the more that you're doing your inner work, the easier it is to interact with others and for others to interact with you. And this was super cool because that led me to the question, and I don't have the answer. It's just a question that came up when I was reviewing this. But I don't know if they were saying that the entities from the inner planes and the inner civilizations, this would apply to as well as in harvesting. I don't have the answer. Those who have passed on recently in the last few years or decade or so on, so forth, are they, in a sense, waiting for us to catch up as well? I don't have the answer. However, it's something to think about. Okay. This is still in session 17.36. I have heard that there are seven astral and seven Javachanic primary levels. Is this correct? Ra says, you speak of some of the more large distinctions in your in levels in your inner planes. This is correct. And the way that I try to help myself understand is the octaves on the keyboard. Of course, there's seven notes or vocal ranges. There's seven notes. When you reach the eighth, it's back to number one, and you are in the next octave. And they do, let me see if I can't go on to this one actually, because they do explain it a little bit better. Don asks, who inhabits the astral and who inhabit the Devachanic planes? Entities inhabit various planes due to their vibrational nature. The astral plane varies from thought forms in the lower extremities to enlightened beings who become dedicated to teach learning in the higher astral planes. In the Devachanic planes, as you call them, those who are those whose vibrations are even more close to the primal distortions of love light. Beyond these planes are others. And Don's trying to understand this too. This is where they go in and talk about subplanes. So it's a point to make on the inner planes, and maybe it's a way for us to visualize them a little bit better. And I don't even want to say them. I do believe they are broken up into just as much as Ra does subplanes and sub-subplanes. It's probably on an infinite level, as Ra says, infinite as well. But they also say that it's a they're also another way of describing time space. So, and it's just hustling and bustling like it is here. So. Let's get into what Ross says about it, though, because Don asked about the subplanes, and Ross says there are an infinite number of planes. In your particular space-time continuum distortion, there are seven subplanes of mind-body-spirit complexes. You will discover the vibrational nature of these seven planes as you pass through your experiential distortions. Meeting other selves, which is another person. But if we are all connected on a conscious or a subconscious level, then they are just another version of you or of the creator experiencing itself. Meeting other selves of the various levels, which correspond to the energy influx centers of the physical vehicle, the invisible or inner third density planes are inhabited by those who are not of body complex nature, such as yours. That is, they do not collect about their spirit mind complexes a chemical body. So they are not a mind body spirit complex. They are a spirit slash mind complex. Nevertheless, these entities are divided in what you may call an artificial dream within a dream into various levels. So they still function in a sense like we do. They are just not attached to a chemical body. In the upper levels, desire to communicate knowledge back down to the outer planes of existence becomes less due to the extensive learned teaching which occurs upon these levels. I do believe when they mention outer planes that they are speaking of right here, right now, not the inner planes, the outer planes. Because there is an, as they say, an intensive amount of learning happening. Okay. They do say, as well, I want to point this out. Let me see. You will discover the vibrational nature of the seven planes as you pass through your experiential distortions. And they're almost saying that we're going to experience these as we move through. And there is a place in the Law of One they speak about how the chakras correspond to each density level. Of course, us being here in third density, it would correspond to the solar plexus, the yellow chakra. And then what we're attempting to do is move into the heart chakra, which is the green ray. And that is filled with more compassion, the utmost compassion, unity, forgiveness, so on and so forth. Let's go back. Nope, I want to go through this one. This is the next question. Let me get a drink first. Okay. And maybe this is where they explain more of that. I myself want to know more about what they mean by we will discover these seven planes as we pass through our experience. So Don asked, then is it necessary to penetrate one plane at a time? As we move from what we call third density physical through these planes. It has been our experience that some penetrate several planes at one time. Others penetrate them slowly. Some in eagerness attempt to penetrate the higher planes before penetrating the energies of the so-called lower and more fundamental planes. This causes energy imbalance. You will find ill health, as you call this distortion, to frequently be the result of a subtle mismatch of energies in which some of the higher energy levels are being activated by the conscious attempts of the entity while the entity has not penetrated the lower energy centers or sub-densities of this density. So that's a bit hard to understand. But I will add that when they talk about fundamental, you're talking about, well, I'm going to add the chakras into this. And I'm no different either. But in some cases, I find, and I had to go back and do work on the lower chakras. But I do find some get so much in a hurry to work with the upper chakras that they forget that, you know, the red ray and the orange ray, they're so, they're, it's our foundation. Right? And if you're trying to build a house, for example, would you build a house without a foundation? Well, no, you wouldn't, because it would just, it's so easy to be destroyed or fall over, or it's just not structurally sound. So you want to make sure that your body, your chakra system, your spirit, your mind, your body is structurally sound. So you do absolutely want to make sure that you are taking care of the lower energy centers, as well as if, well, I would say first, that's my own opinion, before you start working with anything on the upper chakras. And Ra even says that you're going to find ill health and imbalance, energy imbalance. So you're going to notice a difference. This is one that they refuse to answer. So is there a best way to meditate? No. I will add on that as well. No, there's not, because it's so different than for everyone. It's so different for everyone, and there's not a best way. Some can meditate while they're washing dishes and folding the laundry and vacuuming the floor. Others have to make sure that they are lying in bed or in a lotus position and have to have everything absolutely quiet around them, if that's what it takes, and that's fine. I think meditation comes with practice. I've seen some teachers say you have to quiet your mind. I think Ra says it too, and that's a different kind of meditation, more like a deeper meditation. And sometimes it takes that for some. It's hard to quiet the mind. I believe that like a contemplation meditation is just as healthy, as far as trying to work on any kind of inner healing or inner work. But it's whatever works for somebody. In a bath, lying down, standing up, washing dishes. I think that whatever works for somebody, binaural beats is very good for some. I've had great results from that. Drumming, shamanic music, whatever kind of music works for you. Let me go back to this though. Okay. This goes into electrocrally a little bit. This is a part where I was questioning, but they do explain it very well, because they bring up three individuals. Don brings up three individuals, and that was Hitler, Crowley, and Rasputin, and what happened to them. But this is where they speak about Mr. Crowley. Don asks, Aleister Crowley wrote, "Do what thou wilt is the whole of the law." He was obviously an understanding to some extent of the law of one. Where is this entity now? This entity is within your inner planes. This entity is in healing process. This entity then, even though he intellectually understood the law of one, misuse it and therefore have to go through this healing process. That was a great question. So Ra answers, this entity became overstimulated with the true nature of things. The overstimulation resulted in the behavior that was beyond conscious control of the entity. So he did not become consciously in control of himself at some point in time. The entity thus, in many attempts to go through the process of balancing, as we've described, and various energy centers, beginning with the red ray and moving upward, became somewhat overly impressed or caught up in the process and became alienated from other selves. This entity was positive, however, its journey was difficult due to the inability to use, synthesize, and harmonize the understandings of the desires of self, so that it might have shared in full compassion with other selves. So I would think that would mean that he lacked a certain amount of compassion. He isolated himself to a point where he had difficulty, maybe sharing that compassion. This entity became very unhealthy in a spiritual complex manner, and it was necessary for those with this type of distortion towards inner pain to be nurtured in the inner planes until such an entity is capable of viewing the experiences again with the lack of distortion towards pain. Great explanation of what happened to this specific gentleman with his work. And I know he wrote several books in that. I would have put him as negatively oriented, and maybe that's just my view of things. But I do like the way that Ra explained it. He did lack the compassion, or maybe he didn't know how to share the compassion. So, All right, and then we're kind of back to talking somewhat about the Confederation and how they aid. So Don asks, this is session 19. Then the Confederation also aided in second density to third density transition. Is this correct? Raw answer is we must qualify the correctness of the question. Portion of the Confederation which is not working with third density, but finds its aid best used in other harvests, which is second density, is responsible for aid in these harvests. So not necessarily Confederation, the current one that we would consider the current one, but a group came at that time as consciousness was moving from second to third. The Confederation that we have stated previously in these sessions is comprised of many of those in other densities, in your own density, within your planetary sphere, and within the inner or angelic realms. Each of those entities developing a mind-body-spirit complex and then developing a social memory complex and then dedicating the social memory complex to the singular service of the one creator. To the one creator may join the Confederation. Okay. So, working from the inner planes, so standing on the steps of the doorway of time space or the inner planes. Okay. So this is jumping to the next session, session 20. And Don is asking about the 25,000-year cycle or major cycle, they call it. What type of aid was given by the Confederation to the entities who were in this 25,000-year period so that they could have the opportunity to grow? And each major cycle, they say, is 25,000 years. The first one, we go through a period of three, I believe. The first one, so that would have been 75,000 years ago, did not have a harvest. The second one, which was 20, yeah, I think I messed that up. But the second one did not have very many. In fact, I think it was only a few hundred who actually decided to stay since the harvest was so small. So they actually decided to stay in hopes that, bringing a much fuller harvest in the next round, which is where we're at now. The raw answer is that Confederation members which dwell in the inner plane existence, time-space existence within the planetary complex of vibratory densities work for these entities. There was also the aid of one of the Confederation, which worked with those of Mars, making the transition. And in the Law of One, Ra talks about a transfer from Mars, and I do believe that was part of the second major cycle, the previous one, in allowing them to alleviate some of the karma from the trauma that they transposed over back when the planet was habitable. For the most part, the participation was limited, as it was appropriate to allow the full travel of the workings of the confusion mechanism to operate in order for the planetary entities to develop that which they wished, shall we say, freedom within their own thinking. So, freedom within your own thinking has been a theme for quite some time, and I think that's what we're all after in the long run. It is often the case that a third density planetary cycle will take place in such a way that there need be no outside or other self-aid in the form of information. Rather, the entities themselves are able to work themselves toward the appropriate polarizations and goals of the third density learned teachings. We need a lot of help. Okay, let's move on now. So here we go, talking about the cycles a little bit. Let's ask the question, and then I'll Maybe add a few things on this one. Yeah, so psych talking about the cycles again. 70 there's a 75,000 year cycle, so 325,000 year major cycles before the 75,000 years occurred at all. And take one more look at the transfer in it, of entities from Maldek. So Maldek would be Ra explains that there was an Earth-sized planet, a super Earth-sized planet, let's say, that there was a type of war that essentially blew up the planet. So, and that may be what we see as the asteroid belt. So that is Maldek. I'd like to check the time that you gave us because we had some distortions in numbers in the years. So, and then you have trouble with ears, Ross says, because they're working from time space where everything is somewhat fluid, or not somewhat, it is fluid. So did you have time, issues with time? The entities of which you speak of underwent several transitions, the first occurring about 500,000 of your years ago. As you measure time, the entities were transformed into a knot. This continued for what you call eons of your time. Those aiding them were repeatedly unable to reach them. At approximately 200,000 years ago, in our past, a Confederation entity was able to begin to relax this knot from which none had escaped during planetary annihilation. These entities were transformed again into the inner or time-space dimensions and underwent a lengthy process of healing. When this was accomplished, the entities then were able to determine the approximate movement in order to set up conditions for alleviation of the consequences. At a time of 46,000 years ago, as we measure time, this being approximate, these entities chose incarnation within the planetary sphere. So, the way that I see it, they weren't even really in the inner planes. It was more like a trauma knot that these folks had gotten themselves into. And I can only imagine, I can see why. I mean, who, I don't know what entity would not have extreme trauma from a planetary annihilation type situation. So, but then, they had kind of moved into the inner planes where they went through their healing and reviewing, and then it was decided they would come into this planetary sphere to alleviate that and work their way back up the densities. Were any of these entities then incarnated in the second density before the 75,000 year cycle? So no, the timing's not right because they didn't come in until 46,000 years ago. The planetary entities were incarnate in time space, third density, or the so-called inner planes, undergoing the process of healing and approaching the realization of their actions. Okay. Quite interesting. That explains the inner planes and what the inner planes for and how they're using inner planes and time space interchangeably here. That's a point that I keep repeating because I wanted to make sure that there's several terms that they use for time space. I have seen now inner planes, I have seen unmanifested, and I've seen metaphysical. So it's then we kind of have to make the realization that it's all the same. It's still functioning in this reality just as much as our own, we consider our own reality functioning. Still very much a part of what we're doing here. It's how we're accessing, how we're realizing that we're already accessing. And I think once the realization comes in that we are already have been accessing all of our lives, then we can kind of know how to work with it in a way that makes sense. All right. This is in regards to contact with the Egyptians. Let me look at our time really quick. Okay, we're doing okay. Okay, in regards to some contact with the Egyptians, and I believe it was See how long ago that was. Okay, I think they go into that. That's okay. Yeah. One point in time they came down and they were just showing their ships in the sky, and but they really couldn't, they really weren't able to contact them, as it they weren't really in alignment with the Law of One, or in a way that they could even possibly understand it, is a way that Ra explained it. But let's go into what they say. The attempt was not prolonged. It occurred over a period of time. It was a decision upon our part that there was a sufficient calling and attempt to walk among the people. We laid this plan before the council, offering ourselves as service-oriented wanderers of this type, which land directly upon the inner planes without incarnative process. Thus, we emerged or materialized in physical chemical complexes, representing as closely as possible our nature, this effort being to appear as brothers and spend a limited time amount with them as teachers of the Law of One. For there was an ever stronger interest in the sun body, and this vibrates in concordance with our particular distortions. We discovered that for each word, there were 30 impressions gave by our very being, which confused those entities which have come to serve. After a short period of time, we removed ourselves from these entities and spent much time attempting to understand how best to serve them, who those who'd offered ourselves, who we had offered ourselves to in Love Line. So I'm a little confused, actually, because I said land directly upon the inner planes without incarnative process, then we materialized. So I think, they claim to be sixth density beings, and I think that's very much possible for sixth density beings if they feel like it's an appropriate time, or there's an appropriate calling, or an appropriate understanding. And I mean, I won't read all of this, but I mean, they explain so much of what they tried to offer this time around was completely distorted. Humanity has a lot of work to do in regards to the power structures and, deciding on if we're in this to serve others or if we're in this to serve ourselves. But I mean, this is them coming in again at this time is a way that they are trying to alleviate the previous distortions from what they the previous distortions from what came before. Okay. All right, there was more. One more. Here we go. And this is talking about the harvest, and the inner planes have so much to offer as far as the type of guidance that we are getting, and it's right here. Okay. So right now they're beginning book three. And they're asking about the harvest. I was wondering if there is a supervision over the harvest, and if so, why this supervision is so necessary, and how it works, since an entity's harvestability is the violet ray. That's right. Is it necessary for entities to supervise the harvest, or is it automatic? Can you answer this, please? Raw answer is, in time of harvest, there are always harvesters. The fruit is formed as it will be, but there is some supervision necessary to ensure that this bounty is placed as it should be, without the bruise or the blemish. There are those of three levels watching over harvest. The first level is planetary. and that which may be angelic. This type of guardian includes the mind, body, spirit complex totality or higher self of an entity. So that's us. That's our higher self. That's the first level. And those interplane entities, which have been attracted to this entity through its inner seeking. Okay. So also those working in time space, or the interplanes, they call it. The second class of those who ward this process are those of the Confederation, who have the honor duty of standing in the small spaces at the edge of the steps of light slash love, so that those entities being harvested will not, no matter how confused or unable to make contact with their higher self, stumble and fall away for any reason other than the strength of light. These Confederation entities catch those who stumble and set them right, so they may continue into the light. And in going over this, I think I've gone over it in another episode somewhere. I think it was the harvest episode. That's been quite a while back. But I always envision my garden. When we're out there gardening, when we're doing, especially like tomato plants or pepper plants, those types of things, where they don't get as big as a tree. A tree, has enough strength to stand on its own after so long. But something like a tomato plant or a pepper plant, they really need a trellis or something. And you always have to go out and just make sure that they're not falling over, or the fruit is able to hang the right way, because if they're not hanging the right way, then they don't grow right, or as Raja said, there's bruises or blemishes. So this is, the actions of the second class, this can be Confederation entities, where they just kind of might come in and offer like a counsel, or they might come in and offer, I just send you energy or whatever it is that they do. But this, it was a great example for me when I was going over this, was somebody in a garden. Well, yeah, they've got to take care of the plants, right? Or you do not get a good harvest. You have to make sure that you're watering them. You have to make sure they've got the right soil. You've got to make sure they're standing upright, or they have something to lean against, or they don't harvest properly. So then we go into the third group, which is the guardians. This group is from the octave above our own and serves in this manner as light bringers. These guardians provide the precise emissions of light, love, and exquisitely fastidious disseminations of discrimination, so that the precise light love vibration of each entity may be ascertained. So that I would dare you to say five times fast, because I'm actually pretty proud of myself that I said that right the first time. So anyway, though, so and I do I know what that means? Not really, but I can visualize somebody just sending the right energy and being observant, and possibly if they notice something wrong, maybe they send out the Confederation members. The Confederation members seem like they know, though, who's stumbling and who's not, and who, So I'm not, again, I don't have all the answers, but it's still quite interesting. But thus, the harvest is automatic. So it seems automatic in some, and that those harvested will respond according to that which is unchangeable during harvest. That is the violet ray emanation. However, these helpers are around to ensure proper harvesting so that each entity may have the fullest opportunity to express its violet ray selfhood. And this right here, so all of your rays, your chakra, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. Okay. They are a different energy center. When we get to the violet ray, it is like the sum of all the others. So of course that's going to be unchangeable. That is self food. Your resonance of being includes the six chakras, the vibration of your six chakras, a sum of those. So that is your violet ray. That's what they mean by it's unchangeable. Okay. This is section 60, I'm sorry, 60.23. And are there any inner civilizations or entities living in the areas that some of the other than physically incarnate who do come and materialize on the earth's surface at times? As we have noted, process. There are some which do as you say. However, I'm sorry, further, there are some interplane entities of this planet which prefer to do some materialization into third density visible in these areas. There are also bases in these areas of those from elsewhere, both positive and negative. There are abandoned cities. A little bit of history there. But the point of this being in this discussion, though, is that Ra is saying, some of the interplane entities can do some materialization. However, in my own opinion, I'm sure they're extremely picky about when they would do this or why they would do this, especially in a time like right now. They would have to be picky, especially the positive ones. Okay, and here's where they clarify that time, space, and space-time, or I'm sorry, time, space, and interplanes are essentially the same thing using two different terms. Can you describe the difference that you are speaking of with respect to time, space, and space-time? For the sake of your understanding, we will use the working definition of interplanes. There is a great deal of subtlety invested in this sound vibration complex, but by itself will perhaps fulfill your present need. And that's where I was speaking up when I'm saying, once I saw that, I actually asked the question inwardly when I was reviewing this. And then, of course, the next one I read was this one. Okay, because I asked, I said, are they the same thing? Because when I was reading, the previous sessions and going through that, I had that question. Is that the same thing as time space? And of course, yeah, my question was answered. Do I feel like there's probably some differences? Yeah, I do. Probably not in a way that's understandable to humanity. The way that, our reality works, I mean, it's impossible to understand. Okay, or understand all of it, rather. Get a drink. Okay, not too much more, guys, and then I'll give you guys the rest of your night to enjoy. Okay, you stated that this is session 74.12. You stated that working of service to others has the potential of alerting a great mass of light strength. Could you describe just exactly how this works and what the uses of this would be? Ra answers, there are sound vibratory complexes, so names which act like the dialing of your telephone. When they are appropriately vibrated with accompanying will and concentration, it is as though many of your metaphysical or inner planes received a telephone call. This call they answered by their attention to your working. And this resonates with me doing any kind of mediumship works. I mean, it does very much act like a telephone call. And I do believe accompanying will and intention and staying in a service to others mode is extremely important, and that needs to be made extremely clear when doing that type of work. And also preparation and protection as well. So. And this works for any kind of channeling. I imagine why that's why Dominic asked the question, of course. Okay. Yeah, and so this is still in session 74. And this is talking about the banishing ritual, the lesser pentagram. They do this ritual before each, as I was talking about, doing any kind of protection when doing any kind of work like that. So, yes. Okay. Okay. I think this is the last one I want to go over. I'm going to skip that one. Let me check the time. Yeah, I want to go over this one for sure. And in this one, if we go into this session, session 90, they are speaking about they had a fifth density negative entity. I believe that was influencing them or trying to influence them. So this is in regards to that. And they kind of wanted to know how in the world are they moving around. Ra does say that there's some fourth density companions in the group, and the fifth density negative friend works within its own density. So this is in regards to that. So Dawn asked the question, how do they get here and by what means of moving? Ra answers, in the mechanism of the calling, the movement is as you would expect. That is, the entities are within your planetary influence and are, having come through the quarantine web, free to answer such calling. There was a call made. In other words, the temptations are offered by those negative entities of what you call the inner planes. These dark angels have been impressed by the service to self path offered by those which have come through quarantine from days of old. And these entities, much like your angelic presences of the positive nature, are ready to move in thought within the inner planes of this planetary influence, working from time space to space time. So, from time space to space time, both positive and negative. The mechanism of the fifth density entity is from density to density and is magical in nature. The fourth density of itself is not capable of building the highway into the energy web. However, it is capable of using that which has been left intact. These entities are again the Orion entities of fourth density. So, fourth density, Orion. I believe there was a fifth density negative being, though, that was trying some things with them at some point. And I feel like that's still appropriate here. But they are saying that the fourth density beings were from the Orion. And I suspect, they talk about, I believe Yahweh had received some info that was from a negative influence, but this is working from they're working from the inner planes is my point, and both positive and negative. So it's imperative that we're using our discernment in such places and really just look at and there was a session that my kid explained the other day. I bet I couldn't find it right away, but we need to be looking at the fruits of the contact. That's where we need to be looking at our discernment. How are we feeling? Let's look at the fruits. And we should be discerning their own ego, if we are experiencing something as well as our own. I have a feeling, hearing everything we want to hear is probably trickery, but also look at what exactly transpired during all of this, and again, feeling and et cetera, et cetera. So, this last paragraph here, I believe it's speaking in a way of almost the way that creation kind of runs down through the densities, as far as the way that consciousness works in each density in regards to creation and manifesting that energy into, or making the energy manifest, so to speak. But the main thing here is, the inner planes work in both a positive and a negative. Again, I'm going to say again, the important thing is our own inner work and us being willing to see our own strengths and weaknesses and work on that which we wish to do better for ourselves. The willingness to do so is very important. And as we come a long way with that inner work, I think it's gonna get easier. It's a hard thing to do to sit down and just have to look at yourself. But once we do, like I said, I feel it comes together easier as time goes on, and you're able to interact better, and people are able to interact with you more, as well as some of your intuition becomes more apparent, and then you start trusting yourself. And as it's mirrored back to you as well. So, all right. Well, I'm going to leave it be for now. There is also, I meant to say this earlier, there's also LLresearch.org. The folks that brought through the Law of One, Carla, Jim, and Don, they have brought some other books too. So I wanted to throw this in here. And as I am reading, I went ahead and started reading one of them. I'm reading Voices of Confederation now. I just started it, but I do recommend some of their other work as well. They did beautiful work. They did some channeling before they were able to contact Ra. So I wanted to learn about that because they hadn't been at it for at least 5, 6, maybe even more than that years before Ra ended up coming through. And I feel it's very appropriate as well. So I wanted to throw that in there. I appreciate each and every one of you. I hope you all have a great week. And any questions or comments, please let me know. And I will see you guys next time.